God speaks, do you listen? Yeah, I could stop here. It's like, God's spoken throughout the whole day. What more do I have to add? A little bit of humor, a little bit of levity, and a lot of Abraham. How's that? This really didn't come to me until Friday, and it was probably about Friday mid-morning or so. And it's like, what am I going to talk about? Reminded of something that goes back to the 70s and 80s, which was the inspiration for title. Let me play it for you. Pardon me?
You'll never regret the purchase of a good stock, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, my broker says it's a real good buy. What does your broker say?
Well, my broker's E.F. Hutton. And Hutton says...
When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
I can't take full credit for the title of the message. Needless to say, it was inspired. How you think it would be inspired? E.F. Hutton was an American stock brokerage firm founded in 1904 by Edward Francis Hutton and his brother Franklin Laws Hutton. Later, it was led by well-known Wall Street trader Gerald Loeb. Under their leadership, E.F. Hutton became one of the most respected financial firms in the United States, and for several decades was the second largest brokerage firm in the country. The firm was best known for its colorful TV commercials in the 70s and 80s, based on the phrase, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen, which usually involved a young professional remarking at a dinner party, which you sort of saw up there. This broker was E.F. Hutton, which caused the moderately loud party to stop all conversation to listen to him. In other words, the world stopped. Does the world stop when God speaks, though? The campaign spoke to the respectability, the authority, and the credibility of E.F. Hutton. When they spoke, people listened. Let me ask you, is there someone in your life whom you respect so much that when you talk, you listen? For Abraham, that was Adonai. In this week's Parsha, Lech Lecha, on three specific occasions, Adonai spoke with Abram. Three very specific and important moments that would forever change Abram's life. Now, keeping in mind, these weren't the only three times that God spoke with him. I'm pointing this out to you because they're important, not only then, but now. To the point that I'm asking, when God speaks, do you listen? We first meet of Avram at the end of Genesis 11, starting in verse 27. Here is the genealogy of Terach. Terach fathered Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Haran fathered Lot. Haran died before his father Terach in the land where he was born, in Ur of the Chasdim. Then Avram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Avram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran. He was father of Milcah and Yiscah. Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terach took his son Avram, his son Haran's son Lot, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Avram's wife, and they left Ur of the Chasdim to go to the land of Canaan. But they came to Haran, they stayed there. Why is this important? If you go back a few verses earlier, in chapter 11, starting in verse 10, you see that it begins the lineage of Shem. Keeping in mind, we don't notice, or it hasn't been revealed to us, the lineage of Noah's other two sons. Yet Adonai begins the narrative for Abraham with the lineage going all the way back to Shem. Verse 10, it says, here is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old when he fathered Arpachshad, 2 years after the flood. So it's going all the way back to the flood, because we all know we're descendants of Adam. There's a lineage through Shem that is important for which we realize that out of Shem came Abram. Lineage provides us with the beginning of the story. It provides us with a starting point. When Adonai provides a lineage, it's important. When Adonai speaks, are you listening? He's sharing something with you. Why is lineage important? We're going to see this more through Abraham in a few minutes. People is plural. Is the plural English for person. Unfortunately, this doesn't mean everyone. People can mean everyone. Chances are people does not mean exhaustively everyone. Those who would follow along the line of Shem would be known Shemites. Drop the H and what do you have? Semites. Avram was a Semite. So were others. Today, Semite is exclusively attached to the Jewish people, even though the Semite languages are spoken by other people. In 1879, German journalist Wilhelm Marr began the politicization of the term by speaking of a struggle between Jew and German in a pamphlet called Way to Victory of Germanism over Judaism. In other words, the separation of Germans from Jews. He accused the Jews of being liberals, a people without roots who had Judaized Germans beyond salvation. In 1879, Marr's adherents founded the League of Anti-Semitism, concerned itself entirely with anti-Jewish political action. Why am I bringing this up? Because the idea of a Semite goes all the way back to Shem, yet it spoke of more people than one, is exclusively associated with one people only. The first time Adonai truly spoke with Avram was Genesis 12:1. We read these verses all the time, verses 1 through 3. We pay a great deal of attention to them, both in the church and within Messianic Judaism, because this is a starting point. Yet the starting point actually began before that with Shem. But keeping in mind, it didn't become realized until generations later. Adonai said to Abram, spoke, Abram, listen. Get yourself out of your country, away from your kinsmen, and away from your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. Adonai told Abram to leave everything and everyone knew, with the exception of his wife and his nephew, and go to a place where he knew no one. We did this about 9 years ago. We left a place where we knew people, came to a place where we didn't know anyone. It's almost certainly a step of faith that when you leave everything you know for the prospects of what is unknown to you, that is a true step of faith. Keeping in mind that that's not the only aspect of faith. Trusting in God for things that you don't know how he's going to do or what he's going to do, yet he says, and you listen, you ultimately do. So basically, there's three elements. God speaks, we listen. Then the question is, what happens after we listen? The writer of Hebrews conveys the following regarding Avram and his decision to follow Adonai. He says, by trusting, Avraham obeyed after being called to go out to a place which God would give him as a possession. Indeed, he went out without knowing where he was going. Between Abraham and ourselves, we at least knew where we were going. We had a destination, but we had no idea what it was going to involve. His decision was based on trust. Avram trusted God. Sort of what I was sharing with you earlier about the weeks that you've had and wondering, where is God? It comes down to trusting. How much faith do you have in Adonai when he speaks to you? Much. Verse 1 was only the beginning of Adonai's words to Avram. He continued. He told him to get up and leave. Then he said, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you are to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who curses you. And by you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So did Abram listen. We don't have to go any further than verse 4. So Avram went as Adonai had said to him, and Lot went with him. Avram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Adonai spoke, he got up and he went. Yet when he spoke with Avram, he did not provide him with a timeline nor a deadline as to when these things would occur. He didn't even provide him with a destination. He said, well, put this in your GPS. You'll know when you get there. Okay, well, they didn't have GPS yet. Okay, well, here's a Rand McNally map. Go to page 12 and follow it to here. Didn't even give him that. Just said, go. So we can look at both. We can look back and know this was the first time Adonai would speak with Avram, but it would not be the last time. Keeping in mind, this is important as God speaking in those verses was the response of Avram. He went. He had less information than we did. He had less information than any of you did when it comes to following God. You have an entire book of about 1,600 pages. Insight, experience, good and bad experience in relation to how people either follow God, do not follow God, what the outcomes of those are. So the next significant time recorded in Scripture of Adonai speaking with Avram is in chapter 15. It is after the War of the Kings. Adonai appears to Avram in verse 1. Sometime later, the word of Adonai came to Avram in a vision. He spoke to him in a vision, not audible words. He came to him. It's like I said, God can speak to you in many ways. He can speak to you through his word. He can speak to you in dreams and visions. He can speak to you through others. But here in the case of Avram, the second time, it started off as a vision. He said, don't be afraid. I am your protector. Your reward will be very great. Why did he emphasize that he was his protector? If you go back to chapter 14, there was a little skirmish going on. Abraham sort of walked through the middle of. At this time that he sees Melchizedek. And he has an encounter not only with Melchizedek, but also with the king of Sodom. It was said, but Abram, chapter 14, verse 22, but Avram answered the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand in the oath to Adonai, El Elyon, maker of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a thread or a sandal, anything that is yours, so that you won't be able to say, I made Avram rich. So here you have an emphasis in chapter 14, just how strong Avram's faith is towards Adonai. He doesn't want anything to get in the way of it. He doesn't want anything to, in essence, subvert. Whatever happens comes from him directly and not through someone else. Verse 23, that I will make, Adonai first gets Avram's attention, vision regarding the promise made back in Genesis 12. But now, years later, Avram responds to the vision in this manner. Verse 2, Avram replied, Adonai God, what good will your gifts be to me if I continue childless? And Eliezer from Damascus inherits my possessions. Keeping in mind, we can listen, but it is fine for us to question Adonai for clarity, for understanding. Because when we go back to Genesis 12, we see all these promises that are made, but there are no details. And one of those promises is that I will make you a great nation. What did it specifically say in Genesis 11? It was barren. She could not have a child. So it's very Jewish, it's very Semite to ask questions, even to God directly. But the word of Adonai came to him, this man will not be your heir. No, your heir will be a child from your own body. Then he brought him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If you can count them, your descendants will be that many. Basically, Avram asks a question. And I responds, this is going to be from you directly. In your mind, there's going to be a few twists and turns along the way. Ishmael comes onto the scene, but that's another story for another day. When he looked up, verse 6, He believed in Adonai and he credited it to him as righteousness. How often does this verse get used throughout the New Covenant? Because he believed, God considered him righteous for his faith in believing in him. The further clarification of the initial promise of being a great nation. This is what's going on here. The initialization of this nation would come through Avram's seed comprising his descendants. To where Adonai speaks to Avram and he listens here in verse 7. He said to him, I am Adonai who brought you from Ur Kasdim to give you this land as your possession. Wherever he was, where he was supposed to be. Have you ever been in a position where you believe you have heard from Adonai, yet you don't believe you have all the pieces? Jerry mentioned it earlier. I've mentioned it a little bit. Part of listening is interaction. The purpose of seeking clarity. You want to make sure that what you've heard is what you really heard. Not only does this provide clarity, but also proves you've been listening. Avram thought there was more to be known, so he questioned, how am I going to be a great nation? I have no descendants. That's how nation building, in essence, began. Genesis 15:8, he replied, Adonai God, how am I to know that I will possess it? Now he moves on from descendants to the land itself. And Adonai responded first by instructing Avram to bring animals for offerings and then by informing him what would occur. Not immediately, what is to happen generations from now. Go all the way down to verse 13 of Genesis 15. Adonai said to Avram, know this for certain. Your descendants will be foreigners in a land that is not theirs. They will be slaves and held in oppression their 400 years. But I will also judge that nation, the one that makes them slaves. Afterwards, they will leave with many possessions. As for you, you will join your ancestors in peace, be buried at a good old age. Only in the fourth generation will your descendants come back here. Because only then will the Amorites be ripe for punishment. Judgment may be pending. There is ultimately a time when judgment comes. The warnings cease. After the sun had set, there was thick darkness, verse 17. A smoking fire pot and a flaming torch appeared, which passed between these animal parts. That day Adonai made a covenant with Avram. I have given this land to your descendants, the Vadi, Egypt, to the great river Euphrates. What happened here? A covenant was made, ratified by what? Blood of the animals and going through. So in essence, God just didn't say, well, trust me at my word. He entered into a covenant with him, which in essence solidified his word. So after this encounter of Genesis 15, where Adonai spoke with Avram the second time, the second more significant time, we were left with a prophetic outline regarding the land promised. We're left with a covenant specifically associated with the land. And we were left with borders to the promised land. All of this because God spoke and Abram listened. Keeping in mind, Abram listened, but he responded, and God provided greater clarity. It would be these things that Adonai spoke to Avram would be conveyed to future generations, even up to this point where we are still able to glean wisdom this day, where the writer of Hebrews conveys the following. Hebrews 11:10, for he was looking forward to the city with permanent foundations, of which the architect and builder is God. What was happening? God was giving him a glimpse into the future. It wasn't just the future where they would reside in Egypt and be slaves, but it would be an eternal place that, in essence, would be where God, the architect of that city, of that place where he's standing in right now and wondering, how is this promise going to come to fruition? Don't always receive the fullness of what we are to be doing, but ultimately receive step-by-step instructions. We didn't know how this congregation would start. We initially thought it would be on Passover. Yet it was 3 months prior to that that we had our first meeting in our living room, on our couch. Not the comfy blue couch, but it was tan at the time. This meeting included Jerry and a grand total of 2 other people. Started with 4. Following week, it went down to 3. We're going in the wrong direction already. Keeping in mind, the first year we were here, we had 4 nor'easters. The best time to start something, is it? Keeping in mind, by the time we got to Passover that first year, we had 12 people around our Passover table. We did not know any of them before we got here. I was contacted by 2 individuals before we got here, but we really didn't know each other. But come April of 2011, we had a Passover with 12 people. This from a couple who moved here not knowing anybody. We had left everything we knew for a strange land that we did not know. And Adonai opened the doors to what he would do through us. When in Maine, remember? It's the way life should be, strange enough in itself. We can still learn a great deal from what Adonai said to Avram. Keeping in mind, I provided you experience from what we went through. And then there is a third time Adonai spoke with Avram in this parsha, Genesis 17. Remember the first 2, the promise and the covenant that God made with Avram. Then you have the promise of the land, and I would call it an addendum to the covenant, or you can call it a parallel covenant of a promise of the land. Call it a deed. So we have a deed to the land of Genesis 15. No other nation has that in terms of the land that God spoke of. All this arguing and battling over who has a right to what ultimately be settled very quickly when God gets involved. So the next time is Genesis 17. And in mind, how old was Abram when God first spoke to him? 75. He's 99 here now. When Avram was 99 years old, Adonai appeared to Avram and said to him, I am El Shaddai, the Almighty. How did he, in essence, did God reveal himself the first time? Elyon, God Most High. Here he is, El Shaddai, God Almighty. Walk in my presence and be pure hearted. These are the words that God spoke to Abram. I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will increase your numbers greatly. What is he doing? He's reaffirming the promise. This is 250 later. I think Abram had a few times of, well, I'm not getting any younger. Promise me a son, an heir, a descendant. It's like, oh no. After verse 2, I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will increase your numbers greatly. Abram's response, he fell on his face and God continued speaking with him. He reiterated, he affirmed the promise. It doesn't say he was weeping or not, but it's like he fell on his face, revered the one who was speaking. In verse 4, he continues, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Avram, but your name will be Avraham, father of many, because I have made you the father of many nations. Keeping in mind, he's talking past tense here. I have made you. He has not had one descendant yet who is a descendant of the promise. To the point, what's in a name? I've been sharing with you the many names associated with Adonai. He so revealed more about who Adonai is. Likewise, this change in name for Avram further reveals the promise I made with him prior. In essence, what I told you 25 years ago, not something that has an expiration date on it. It's not something, oh, well, I guess I missed the blessing. When God speaks, he keeps his word. It's the credibility aspect. When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen, meaning there is a reputation associated with that. There is a reputation associated with God when he speaks. Here in Genesis 17, 6 and 7, I will cause you to be fruitful. I will make nations of you. Kings will descend from you. I am establishing my covenant between me and you, along with your descendants after you, generation after generation, an everlasting covenant to be God for you and for your descendants after you. So what is he doing here? He's further establishing a promise that is initially given to Avram, now Avraham, a covenantal promise that would continue past Avraham's lifetime. Generation to generation, an everlasting covenant is how God identifies it. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are now foreigners. So he reiterates the promise of the land from Genesis 15. All the land of the Canaanites is a permanent possession. I will be their God. And what does he do? He exclamates it within, I will be their God. No other nation has such a relationship because God said, and Abram listened. Chapter 17 and verse 15, God said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, not to call her Sarai, her name is now Sarah, which means princess. I will bless her. Moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her. She will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. So here you have greater clarity now. Details. It's not going to be Ishmael. Who is your seed? But it's going to be through your wife Sarah that your seed will come forth. At this, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He thought to himself, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah give birth at 90? Sometimes God is able to do things that are beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding, beyond our human rationale. What does Scripture say? With God, nothing is impossible. God can open the womb of a 90-year-old woman. A man who is 100 years will be a father of an infant. So when you understand, when you read these things, do you look at them as stories? You look at them, well, that was then, it was a different time, it doesn't apply now. It reveals these things for you for now. It may seem outlandish. A 90-year-old woman, probably twice removed from menopause, is giving birth to a child. Keeping in mind with medical technology today, the extension to when a woman can actually conceive and bear a child has grown significantly. Not to 90, at least not yet. But keeping in mind, what does it say when a woman who starts off as being identified as barren gives birth to a child, no in vitro fertilization, no miracle drugs, no nothing, what does that say? It says that God has to be involved. God is the giver and creator of life. Nobody is born or comes into existence outside of God. Even science. Two parts, you put it in a tube, it's still two parts that are created from God. Because it's in a tube and it becomes a fetus, doesn't mean that God is absent from that. He provided both parts that required life to come forth. What's the point that I'm getting at here? The point that I'm getting at here is God speaks, develops a relationship with Abram. He becomes Abraham. And in essence, his faith is greatly increased as a result of that relationship. So where let me close with what the writer of Hebrews 11 concludes with regards Abraham. By trusting, this is Hebrews 11:11. By trusting, he received potency to father a child, even when he was past the age for it, as was Sarah herself, because he regarded the one who had made the promise as being trustworthy. Therefore, this is one man who is virtually dead, fathered descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Remember the promise that God said to Abram. If you can count the stars in the sky, that's how many descendants you'll have. Stars in the skies, and countless as the grain of the sand on the seashore. These people kept on trusting until they died, without receiving what had been promised. They had only seen it and welcomed it from a distance, while acknowledging that they were aliens and temporary residents on the earth. Keeping in mind, we are still aliens and temporary residents on the earth, but they were looking forward. God had promised things to Abraham that he would not see in his lifetime. That did not change his relationship with God. When he heard things, he fell on his face. He worshiped. He laughed with God. If it was hilarious to Abram, and he was 99 years old, 3,000+ years ago, how humorous would it be today if someone was to tell a gentleman who's 99 years old, you're going to have a child and it's going to be by your wife who's 89. We'd wonder where the straitjacket is. Wonder where the pink padded room is. We might ask the question, are they on their meds or not? Yet keeping in mind, as outrageous as it seemed to Abram at the time, it's even more outrageous now. But what's the common denominator? God spoke. Abraham listened. God did. If it was that way then, continues. The writer of Hebrews conveys God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How long is forever? Forever. So if he was the same with Abraham yesterday, that means his word is the same for us today. That's why you can take it with you wherever you go and in the future. You can rest on it, yet you can move forward with it. So there may be times we doubt, but the proof is in the word of Adonai. Call it the pudding of faith. Proof is in the pudding. But he got it. Never mind. It just wasn't that funny. Okay, there we go. I'll have to work on my material or my delivery. One of the two. He has provided and validated his faithfulness to those who hear him. So it's not a question about what he says or what his word says. It's a question about what you truly believe. Truly believe. And you can believe a 100-year-old man fathered a child from a wife who was 90. You can believe a person lived to be 939 years old. You can believe God parted the Red Sea and they walked on dry ground, not muddy surface. If you can believe one thing, then you should be able to believe everything. This is a challenge that some people have. Well, they don't believe all of Scripture. How can you believe some things and not others? This is a mind divided. This is a house divided. You either believe it all or you believe none of it. Like I said earlier, there's one basket. Your eggs are either in the basket or they're not. If everybody will please rise.